This is the Tom Likas Show.
I didn't even feel no pressure. I didn't feel no pressure.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Shit. Okay, that's cool. Tom
Likas. Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday to Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24-7 at Tom.show. You can hear us at our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. It's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again with another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio, as he does every Tuesday, it's criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs.
Great to see you, Tom.
Good to see you, Adam.
How's everything tonight?
Oh, everything's going great. What's going on?
So, you know, Tom, this great old city you and I grew up in, New York, has this mayor, Bill de Blasio. And he's apparently a communist or a socialist or certainly very left-wing guy. And he's married to an African-American woman who apparently used to be a lesbian. Always a mistake, by the way, marrying the bisexual. But they have a child who is, I guess, you know, dark-skinned because of her. And he made this comment a few years ago that he gave his son, like, some special talking to, you know, as a young, you know, African-American in appearance boy, that, you know, when he deals with the police, he should be thinking carefully because he's potentially a target, that the police are, you know, going to be more tough on him being black and so forth. And, you know, the police, of course, of the New York Police Department went nuts. Because the mayor is actually like the head of the city police, and he's like, you know, like the ultimate arbiter, and here he is insulting them and saying that, you know, essentially that they're racists and so forth. But, you know, it got me thinking about police interactions, and, you know, these are, for me, probably a lot more common, because I see police in court, and I interact with them and cross-examine them and so forth all the time. And I think that most people don't. Most people don't see the police that often. And, you know, they get pulled over. It's a very dramatic thing for a lot of people. And, you know, if you just get a speeding ticket or something, people have told me how upsetting it was for them. And it went on and on. And there's certainly the experience of minority people who feel very often that they're not treated fairly or whatever. And I've always said that I honestly believe that this is, you know, not Nazi Germany. I think that most police in America are professional, and I think they have a very tough job. And I don't agree with, you know, these extreme groups like Black Lives Matter who say that, you know, the police are gunning for minorities or whatever. But at the same time, I talk to a lot of people who have been arrested, especially, you know, we're not talking about like a ticket, but like, let's say a DUI or another, you know, more serious arrest. Certainly in the case of when we do family law, like domestic violence, you know, the police are called, one of the neighbors calls or the wife calls or whatever. And a lot of people are humiliated and demeaned by the experience that they have with police. But one of the things that happens, and this is fascinating, Tom, you and I have talked about this. You know, I've gone over so many times about, you know, your right to remain silent and the way you should act with police. And then people call me and they tell me, you know, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, that they found themselves in that situation. And they're thinking of what I said. Literally, they had, you know, been a fan of our show, Tom, and they heard us, you know, a couple of months ago or whatever. And now all of a sudden they're being pulled over and being arrested, and they know to shut up. And they know, you know, not to do the field tests and all that kind of thing. And they can't help it because of the situation is so confusing and stressful. And I have a guest tonight who is he on?
Right here.
What's his name?
He's Jack.
Jack. Okay, well, Jack called me. He was arrested about a week and a half ago for a DUI, and I want him to tell a story. But I don't know that he was very familiar with the show or whatever, but Jack just kind of was talking to me, and it's upsetting in a lot of ways. I really want him to share this with the boys. He's talking about his experience and you know, the kind of the emotions that you have being in that situation, which is a very high-pressure situation. Usually it's at night, you know, you're tired, and it's usually more than one cop, the two cops in the car, maybe they bring in some reinforcements or whatever. And it's a very confusing and stressful situation for a lot of people. And, you know, it ends up complicating the case many often times because people, you know, say things to the police that end up, you know, later on getting used against them. So I really wanted to for Jack to share his story. Can we put him on?
He's here right now.
Jack, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how are you? It's good to have you on. Thanks for calling in.
Pretty good.
How
about yourself?
I'm great, and I got Tom here with me. I really want you to tell, you know, if you could repeat some of the things you told me. You got arrested about a week and a half ago for a DUI. I wanted you to tell the story of what it was like and how the police treated you, you know?
All right. Well, I got pulled over last Sunday at a gas station. What is it? Hollywood. At first for tinted windows being supposedly too dark. That was their claim.
Classic.
But when I rolled down a window and they walked up to the window, they saw my eyes, that they were glazed, they said, and that supposedly off of that, I had to get up out of the car and, you know, submit to the field sobriety test. Interestingly enough, before that, they only took my license but not my registration or my insurance, so I thought that was kind of weird. And I had a car full of people with me, too. So it was just a strange situation. I got out. They submit to explain all about the field sobriety test and why they were giving it. I took it. And then after that, they tried to do another test where they test for your pulse, which I thought was interesting. I guess maybe the field sobriety test wasn't enough for them. So after that, they said, you know what, we're going to have to, take you in to test you via the breathalyzer test and the blood test. And I thought that was kind of strange. And they said, yeah, but we're going to have to arrest you. So they arrested me so that they could get me to the station so that they could give me the test. And while I was there, they didn't reveal to me at all what the results were and things of that sort. I did get one strange threat that I thought was interesting. You know, after I got the breathalyzer test, the officer makes it known to me that, 10 years down the road or 15 years down the road, if I get pulled over for whatever reason, even for the smallest thing like the headlight being blown out, he's going to come down on me with the full law. And I thought that was kind of strange.
Isn't that bizarre? Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
He just said that to you out of the blue? Like I got my eye on you from now on?
Yeah, and I was sitting here thinking, why would he say something like that to me? I don't practice criminality. There's a clean record. There's no pattern. There's no threat. I mean, the only possible thing you could probably try to pick on me about is maybe a couple of, tickets that I've gotten, you know, because I drive as a living. You know, I'm subject by default to getting tickets, getting into accidents, speeding, anything that has to do with driving, I'm at high risk of that by default, whether I'm a good driver or not. So, you know, it made me think, I'm like, well, why is this guy sounding like this is personal? I mean, the whole entire situation seemed very personal. It didn't seem like it was about the fact that, you know, I'm a good standing citizen to just let me go and just give me a warning or something about my windows. But instead, they wanted to take it and turn it into something else. And so that's when I knew, okay, something had to be wrong, seriously wrong, and I need to get some help.
Right.
And so here I am today.
Right. Now, you were telling me that, you know, I always talk on the show about how, you know, the police are supposed to be, you know, fairly professional. And you were saying to me about how different the two officers were, right? I was thinking like good cop and bad cop. Like one was pretty decent, but then the other was crazy, right?
Yeah, you know, it was a weird situation because, they had a type of bullying demeanor about what they were doing. But yet at the same time, they were, you know, trying to, you know, preserve a professional attitude too. I guess they were trying to find ways to provoke me to anger, but I was calm the entire time.
Right.
But it felt as if they were fishing, trying to find a way to see how they could possibly convict me for being under some kind of DUI.
Right.
And so after I got the citation, you know, the next day, you know, getting out of jail, because I was in jail overnight. They had me in jail overnight. So the next day they give me, I guess, the ticket or the citation to go to court. What is it, the 15th of next month?
Right.
Talking about drug DUI. So I thought that was interesting.
Drugs DUI. That's interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think? Because the whole thing starts off with this tinted windows, right? What makes you think? Why did they, you know, go down that road? Was it something you said to them, or your demeanor, or I mean, that's weird.
You know, I think what it was is because they couldn't detect any alcohol, which I didn't drink. I don't really drink, so alcohol's not really my thing. But you know, it was weird because I had just left a dispensary. And
nice.
As I was driving out, I'm seeing them parked, I guess, down the street like they're camped.
Right.
And,
so they're thinking some kind of marijuana thing is going on.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they automatically assume. And so
Did they ask about it? Did they ask you, you know, why were you at the dispensary or something?
Actually, no. The first thing was all about the windows. Then when they saw the glazed eyes, they figured, okay, you know what? And they said supposedly they smelled marijuana. Well, of course you're going to smell marijuana. I just came from a dispensary.
Yeah.
You know, I got the bag here, got everything here for proof. But, you know, I mean, just because I'm coming from a dispensary and a car smelling like marijuana doesn't mean that I just smoked in order to get intoxicated for you to pull me over and give me some kind of charge. It just doesn't make sense. It's just, you know, why are you fishing? See, that, and that's my thing. My concern is always, why are you trying to fish? Especially when you know that you're running into someone that has a clean record, no prior history, no signs or patterns of any kind of criminal activity, especially in the area of any kind of DUI. It's far beyond the norm, to be honest.
Yeah, it's very strange. You know, I have a couple of cases where a guy got pulled over. The cops obviously thought it was a DUI. They made him do all the touching his nose and all that nonsense, which I always tell people not to do. But he did it. And then they did a breath test, and it came back 0.0, you know, which is obviously nothing. And it's like the cops were angry. They were, like, disappointed, you know. Because they like put all this.
They look like it.
No, but they put all this energy in, and they didn't get anything. So they ended up, you know, start hassling him that he was speeding, and they wrote him up for a very high speed ticket, like 125 miles an hour or something stupid.
Oh wow!
And I ended up, you know, going to court, and the fine would have been astronomical. It would have been like $2,500 or something ridiculous, and I ended up getting it dismissed, thank God. But I remember just. You won't even believe this, but they actually made a video of it with their dash cam, and the cop was wearing a microphone on his, like a pen or something, and so we actually were given a video of the whole thing, and they actually had him on the side of the road for about 45 minutes, just fucking with him, just playing around with him, and they were so mean, it was so bizarre, and you could see, like, they were like little boys. When they found out that the blow was zero, they were so upset. They were so disappointed. Their present was taken away from them, you know? And we showed it to the judge, and the judge threw the case out, you know? He couldn't believe it, you know? And he said to them, they were in court, and they said to them, what the hell is wrong with you guys? Are you crazy, you know? You know, where'd you learn to police, you know? I mean, what strikes me the most about your case and the things that you've described is you know, and I hate to even mention this, but I know I met you in person. You're dark skin, right? You're an African American?
Actually mixed, but I would commonly be perceived on an elementary Watson level as African American.
Okay, so in all fairness to you, and this kills me to even talk about, but do you think that played into it in any way?
I believe so. In fact, all the people that I had in my car that day, that was their immediate assumption because they didn't ask anybody to get out the car. They didn't ask for any of their ID. They didn't even search the car. They didn't even ask if I had marijuana in the car. It was just all me for the next hour and a half being watched by, like, I don't know how many people. And
strange,
you know,
really strange.
It was just weird. And here's another weird thing. Since they were going to arrest me to take me down to the prison to take, you know, all those tests, they had someone get out of my car, a friend of mine who doesn't drink or smoke. They gave him the field sobriety test to see if it was okay for him to take and drive away with my car.
Unbelievable.
Like,
he wasn't
not
even a suspect. Can you believe that?
Yeah, not even.
That's bizarre.
You know?
So he's going to take the keys. They're doing you a favor, by the way, because they could have the car towed. But they're doing a nice thing. They're letting your friend drive. But before he drives, they're giving him the tests. That is so bizarre.
Yes.
You know, our criminal justice system doesn't work that way. We arrest people after they do things, you know, not pre-crime, you know. Unbelievable. That is so bizarre. We got to work on these because I think all of these things are going to help in your defense. But I just wanted to say, you know, in general, what would you say to the guys, you know, who are confronted with this kind of thing? I mean, how do you deal with the police? How do you keep your wits about you, you know, being in that situation?
Well, for one, take a deep breath and just stay calm because a lot of time, a lot of their wording, how they word stuff when they're talking to you, a lot of it seems to be focused on trying to get you to lose your cool.
Right.
And if you lose your cool in front of them, they're going to have all kind of reasons after that to charge you with something more. You know, basically kind of like a what's the word am I saying? A legitimate excuse to have to charge you with anything else and make your life, you know, a little bit more, you know, stressful.
Right.
Even to the point of being shot 7 times at the gas station, if it came down to it, especially considering these days with all the shootings going on, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, and I think
that's supposed to be part of the thing, you know. One of the comments that they make to you, and this is something that I think they direct particularly at, like, you know, minority people, is, you know, don't be stupid, don't argue, just, you know, yes officer, no officer, you know. And there's sort of this perception of, you know, you see them on TV, this, you know, this loudmouth, you know, black woman, and she's like screaming at the cops, you know, and so they, you know, so they react in kind, they react badly, you know.
Right.
I wonder if that's, you know, if that's fair or not, you know, but it really seems to me, and this is not how it's supposed to be, that for some reason they just took a dislike to you or something, you know. And they just just started screwing with you, and that is bizarre. How can that be?
What makes it even more weird? Watch this. What makes it even more weird is that, you know, now I've been driving for over 5 years, and within those 5 years, I've been pulled over one time at another, and at every time, after officers sit back there in their car for 15 minutes trying to find something, they come back to me and they say, "You know what? We're going to let you go."
Right.
And all have let me go prior to this last Sunday's scenario with these two officers. So it's kind of interesting. It makes you wonder, if everybody else has let me go in the past, why is it all of a sudden now, knowing, you know, what's going on? What's going on with that? I don't understand, you know. So I'm a little confused about that as well.
Well,
but
I think, you know some of the stuff that we talk about, and I think you had mentioned to me that you weren't super familiar with some of the things I've said in the past. But there is just absolutely no two ways about it. You know, you have to think about the Fifth Amendment, and this is something that's difficult sometimes because, you know, it is intimidating and they are kind of in your face and so forth, and you don't want to be disrespectful. A lot of people will say to me that they were trying to cooperate because they thought that would make it go easier. You know. That the cop would appreciate that they cooperated, you know.
That didn't happen this time.
I think that's nonsense.
Absolutely not. It didn't happen that way this time. All of the officers were cool with my response, and they just let me go. But these guys, they were adamant. somehow. And, you know, I mean, you know, only so much you could do in a situation like that, especially when you got, you know, guys with, you know, guns in their holsters standing in front of you and feeling like they could be threatened by reason of the unexpected or the suspicious. I mean, and me, by default, I'm an automatic target.
Why do you feel that you're an automatic target?
Well, first off, because I'm a driver. You know, I do this for a living, and so I'm not only a target from the police, but I'm also a target from people outside the vehicle and the people that I have inside the vehicle, just legally a target almost, per se. And so I'm at a high risk, and so it's just kind of interesting how these guys just decide all of a sudden now, after 39 years of a clean record, want to decide to try to smudge my record.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it makes you think. It's an unfortunate situation to be in right about now.
All right. Well, of course, I'm going to, you know, help you out. We're going to take care of the court case and everything. So I don't think it's hopeless or whatever. But I really, really appreciate you coming on and sharing the story with the boys, because, you know, I talk to so many people that talk about, you know, being arrested or being pulled over, and they talk about it like it's the one of the worst things that ever happened to them. You know, it's one of these, you know, humiliating and distressing and depressing situations. And, you know, the great thing is to keep your cool, right, as you've just said, and to as I always have said, to just shut up, keep your mouth shut. You know, can you believe this all, Tom? Is that something?
I do believe it.
And they're giving tests
because of
the
where
passenger?
I grew up and the people I knew growing up.
So in the Bronx, it's worse? I mean,
it's not that it's worse, but you have a higher percentage of people of color, and therefore you've got even more incidents like this.
It's very distressing to just accept as a matter of principle that the police are going to be, you know, cruel or whatever to a black person. That's a very depressing thought.
And they're not all like that. But unfortunately, in areas with high concentrations of minorities, there's more stories like this. I grew up in the area that they called Fort Apache, the Bronx.
Yeah, right. That was a movie, right?
that was a movie named after this real nickname.
Unbelievable.
That the part of the Bronx where I lived had been given. And so if you know people in a neighborhood like that, you're going to hear a lot of stories like this. There is a reason why I don't doubt any caller who ever calls up and says this, because I grew up around people who were telling me these stories.
Unbelievable. Well, anyway, thanks so much, really, Jack. I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you soon.
Totally. Thanks a lot.
All right. We'll see how things work out with you and Adam in court.
For sure.
I can't wait to get the outcome on that. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. And we have a guy coming up next. You're not going to believe this. We have a guy coming up next who told him point blank, he says, that the guy was going to shoot him.
Oh, my God.
If our caller towed his car.
Oh, my God.
So we'll come back to that and more.
That's extra special, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Here we are with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. And if you've got legal questions, this is the place to call right now. 901-3000-TOM is our number. 901-3000-TOM is the number to call right now. It's 901-3000-868.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. A bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show at 901-3000-TOM. Talk with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. 901-3000-TOM, that's our number. 901-3000-866. Here is Ian in Anaheim on the Tom Likas Show for Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom and Adam.
Hey, Ian, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Yourself?
I'm cool. What's going on?
So I got into a little situation this weekend.
Really? What happened?
A little background. We towed this gentleman's car. We impound a lot of vehicles.
So you're a tow truck operator?
Yes, sir. Once I released his vehicle, I was walking away, and he told me, next time you tow my car, I'm going to shoot you.
Oh, my God.
And I kind of asked him, you know, what did you say? Just so I can make sure he said it again.
Yeah, well, put him up. You should get your phone ready, you know? Get a recording.
Yeah, what I do is I have a little makeshift camcorder. Essentially, it's my phone. Essentially,
there you go.
So I record everybody whose car I release.
Mm-hmm.
And I just so happen to record this gentleman.
Not such a gentleman.
Yeah, right. So I went ahead and filed a report on him. That won't be available to me for, I think they said, 10 business days.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and pursue with the restraining order.
Okay.
And I just wanted to ask you how I would go about that. And furthermore, would that help me to obtain a CCW, to obtain a, you know, concealed carry?
Well, I got to tell you, considering what you do, I don't think you should have too much trouble getting one anyway. I mean, assuming you have a clean record and whatnot.
Of course,
There's like a towing company that services my office building, and there's a lot behind my building, and you know you can park there if you're in the building, obviously, but if you're not, and a lot of people, because it's very close to the court, they just park there because they figure it's okay, and there's a big sign that says not to, you know, but people ignore it. And so the tow truck company comes and they tow cars every day. You know, there's a couple of cars getting towed. And people, you know, people are insane. People get really upset. I mean, people go nuts.
They're crazy.
it's really incredible, you know. There was a thing yesterday in some Walmart. These two women got in a fight over a parking spot. I mean, it was, like, ridiculous. But anyway, so my experience with the tow truck stuff is that when they once towed one of my client's cars by accident, and so we went to the lot to go get it, and it was a few blocks away or whatever, and the actual pickup place, and I'm sure you know this, of course, you know, it's like armored. It's got like grates and bars and like cameras everywhere.
Right.
Because people probably show up and they start freaking out, you know, and I'm not going to pay $200 and F you and give me my car, you know. And so, I mean, in terms of getting a restraining order, I mean, it's a very strange thing that he said, but I don't know that he really knows you. I mean, he probably doesn't even know your name, you know? He was just stupid, and the idea that he is an ongoing threat to you, I'm not sure if that's really possible. But
well, here's the thing. This is the second time we've told this guy.
Oh, and, so you do know him from before.
He does know my last name.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
that's different.
We told, like,
No, I missed that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a repetitive thing with him, then I'd say you're in a different situation.
Okay.
I mean, you know, listen, it's not pleasant. I mean, you know, getting your car towed, but he has no right to threaten you. You're just doing your job, you know?
Right.
I mean, I'd hate for you to tow my car, but I don't know that I would be personally angry at you, you know? It's not like you did something because you hate me, you know? It's, like, stupid, you know, my car was, I don't know, in the wrong lot, or I didn't pay the thing or whatever, but as far as getting a concealed carry, I think you should certainly look into that. You know, generally, concealed carries are for people that are having a lot of cash or are in, you know, dangerous occupations and, you know, coming into threats of violence, and I think that you're certainly one of those people. And, you know, you must have seen these crazy TV shows where they, you know, they go to someone's house to repossess a car, and like all the relatives come flying out of the house with shotguns, and you know, and you say, the guy says,
but the guy says,
listen, I'm sorry, you didn't pay your bill or whatever, and you know, people don't hear that somehow. They you know, that's my car, get your hands off, you know. So you know that you definitely, I mean, I just, you must know this already, but right, you don't do this alone, right? You go with more than one person usually.
Wait, to tow the vehicle?
Whatever, yeah. Repossess a car.
Oh no, we do it alone.
Do you really?
We do it alone. Yes.
My impression was that, you know, you should go in a team, and one guy's like got video and kind of looking, you know, keeping lookout, make sure everything's okay. And
I mean, sometimes we kind of double team, but for the most part, we're all assigned our own trucks. You know, we go in and out.
I'm very impressed.
The vehicle. Yeah.
I just think if you were, you know, breaking the lock or whatever, you know, you're kind of paying attention to something and some guy sneaks up behind you, you know, that's that's not good. That's got some bad possibilities.
So I can just go to the Fullerton courthouse, correct, and just know, fill out the papers for a restraining order?
Generally speaking, I mean, you know, you can fill out the forms for a restraining order. They usually have some kind of a self-help thing. It's probably a good idea to get a lawyer. I mean, I definitely do those, and I you know, make sure that they stick. If you do it yourself, you know, you've got to present a case, And it's hard. It's not easy. You might find this interesting. I volunteer sometimes as the judge for restraining order cases. And so I did that last week before Thanksgiving. And I did it in downtown Los Angeles. And I was the actual judge, for real. And we had about 25 cases. And most of the people didn't have lawyers, but most of them didn't get their restraining orders because they didn't present it correctly and they didn't fill out the forms very well. And when I asked them the story didn't make a whole lot of sense, you know? There was like, you know, stupid things. There was like a girl in a high school and some boy was making fun of her or some shit, you know? And I was like, I'm not going to get a restraining order.
No, I don't plan on doing that alone. I am going to get representation.
It's not a bad idea. I'd be happy to help you. Fullerton's no problem or whatever. But you have to ask yourself if you're really threatened by the guy. That's the question.
Well, I really don't take those things lightly.
All right. I'm with you all the way then.
The end of my life.
I understand.
But, I'm gonna wait for that report to come in, and I will contact you. I have your information.
For sure.
And we can just go from there, Adam.
Happy to help you. You take care. Thanks for calling.
Awesome. You as well. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Ian, thank you.
Great. A restraining order, Tom. How do you like that?
Boy, those people in their restraining orders.
Unbelievable.
Tell you what.
And I can't believe this tow truck people. Jesus, good. The guy thought I'm going to kill you if you tow my car. That's class.
Unbelievable.
You already kill someone over a parking space? I mean, or freaking stupid things? Unbelievable.
They do that.
Yeah, no kidding.
By the way, when I was in Boston, that was really serious.
Boston, they're crazy, huh?
Somebody spent the weekend in a parking space they dug out on Friday.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to go to work till Monday. So Saturday they're in the space, Sunday in the space. Monday they're backing out of the space, and you're driving around the block in Beacon Hill looking for any space you could find. There's a space. So you go to try to pull in, and the guy gets out of the car and gets right in your face. Hey, don't you park in that space. I dug that space out. It's my space.
But he's leaving, isn't he?
He's leaving. But when he comes home from work, he wants that space.
Oh, it should be kept open for him.
Right.
And that's his now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, I got in that conversation with people in New York that was my space. And you go, yeah, right. Really? How's that again? Run that by me again. How is it yours? Because you cleared it?
Okay. By the way, that's like the bit I go through right now, and many people are here in Los Angeles, where you use Waze. To get through, like, Laurel Canyon.
Right, right.
And so now you're driving down these little streets that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
And there's, like, two or three cars ahead of you, and you can tell they're all using Waze.
Right, of course.
So they're all going in, like a conga line down the street.
Little convoy.
And you're driving down these streets that were probably when they advertised the houses that were sold on the street. It said residential street.
Right.
Residential community.
Right.
And so now what happens is because of Waze, people are finding all these little streets. And shortcuts. So you got people coming out of their houses and yelling, get out of here.
They're throwing tomatoes at you.
What are you doing on my street?
My street. I love it.
And it's like, well, last I looked, this is the city of Los Angeles. I just made my
public street lady.
My $14,000 property tax bill. Guess what? I paid for this street.
Oh, man.
As long as I'm paying to maintain it, I'm driving on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Waze changes all that. I think people probably get angry that... their suburban dream is being interfered with.
Yeah, well, there's going to be some fists coming to windows, I think, real soon, because people are real entitled, and they really believe that, you know, hey, I bought my house on a residential street. It's only residential because nobody knew it existed, and now we know.
Unbelievable.
There are factions in the city government here that wanted to take certain shortcuts out of Waze. They wanted Waze to cooperate.
I thought they were going to also do things like, you know, make the street a one-way so it didn't help anymore, you know.
Well, they can do that if they want. They have to go through the process, which takes forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you don't have the right to tell me I can't park somewhere or I can't drive down a street. That's crazy. Hey,
unbelievable.
Anyway, take a break.
Thank you.
We'll come back. Coming up, we're going to talk to a guy in Spokane who says that he and his mom may have a malpractice case.
Great.
Yeah, coming up. By the way, here we are with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. You can get your free legal advice right now by calling Adam here at our number, 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-TOM. You can dial us right now at 901-3000. 866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app. Now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Oh, yeah, the Tom Likas Show. With criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, where can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. I answer my own phone. You can find me on Facebook or on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can always send me an email, which I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, we continue with your calls for Adam Sachs, 901-3000 Tom. Here is Jay. Jay is in Bellingham, Washington, on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Good. I guess you must have some experience with medical malpractice, otherwise Dino probably wouldn't put me through.
Well, I know a little bit about it. It's not my usual thing, but what's going on?
Okay, well, I've got a really weird, unique situation involving my mother.
Okay.
So she's 65 years old. 2 weeks ago, she goes in for a colonoscopy.
Okay.
And she goes in on a Friday, has the procedure done, and then on Monday, the hospital calls her back and says, we need to have you come back in for blood tests.
Okay.
Because the instrument that we used for the procedure was not properly cleaned.
Oh, God.
So they needed to test her for, apparently, HIV and hepatitis C. They also had the woman that was tested before her come in.
Right.
And mainly that was just to see if there's already, from my understanding, a pre-existing condition with either patient.
Right.
So
there was a, I don't know if this affects your mom in particular, but there was a, like a camera, and it had some kind of an optical lens, medical camera, and hospitals are using it all around the world. And apparently, some part of it, the way it was designed, there was some creases in the plastic where bacteria could live. And apparently, a lot of people got infected by this camera, and the manufacturer got sued and everything. So I don't know if this is the case with your mom, but it's very serious malpractice. And you know, she should go get the blood tests, and God forbid, I mean, it would be the most horrendous thing in the world if she actually got HIV or any of these other diseases as an infection from these things. But certainly,
exactly.
Certainly, whether she does or she doesn't, the hospital certainly is liable to her, just at least for her emotional harm. I mean, you can imagine
exactly.
That she's very traumatized, you know, to think that she could get sick or whatever.
And really, truth is, if you contact one of these two diseases, they're really not even going to show up for maybe even 6 months or even longer. So in the meantime, she's got that uncertainty of whether she's, I mean, odds are she doesn't have those things, but you will never know.
Well, and that's, I mean, I hate to say it that way. I know it's your mom. I'm really sorry. But, you know, essentially that's what her damages are. In other words, let's say that, you know, we hope and everything, of course, that she's not infected, right? But at some point, let's say a year from now, she sues the hospital and she says that although the blood test initially came back negative, it can take months, you know, to show up strongly enough for a blood test to show positive. And so she had to wait 6 months to get the second negative test. And so during those 6 months, you know, she couldn't sleep and she couldn't eat and she was so nervous and she was so scared. That would be, you know, part of her damages. That would be part of the thing. That would be part of the idea that, you know, she deserves to get paid, you know, X number of dollars in compensation for the pain that she suffered, wondering, you know, if she was going to be sick and die or whatever, even if it turned out to be, you know, as we hope, of course, negative. So that's all part of the case. But, you know, I got to tell you, a hospital is no place to get well. It is definitely, you know, a place of a lot of problems and infections and, you know, we see all these cases of, you know, the wrong medicines being given or the wrong dosages. And, you know, there are certainly some hospitals that are better than others, but you see a lot of things where, you know, they cut corners and the procedures aren't followed. And it's to me, you're putting your life in these people's hands. You know, you would hope that they would be a little more cautious. And I have a case now that's ongoing of a nurse at a local hospital in California that actually turned my client in. She actually called the police and gave them his blood test results to show that he was drinking and driving and causing him to be arrested. And that nurse, you know, is supposed to be treating his results with confidentiality, you know, and here she was literally ratting him out to the police. And I'm happy to tell you that I got her fired. And, you know, that doesn't, you know, I'm not happy to ruin someone's career, but something was seriously wrong with her, and she should not have gone into nursing, you know. She doesn't understand when you give medical care that you're supposed to do it in confidence. And your mother obviously was treated by people that didn't give a damn about her health, that allowed her to get, you know, this infected equipment or whatever. And I guess it's good that they called her and let her get the tests and all, but I can't imagine her sorrow and her worry, you know, that she may, you know, yet be sick by, you know, what happened. So she's, you know, it's not my expertise. I can, you know, probably turn you on to somebody, but she should sue the shit out of them. There's no doubt about it.
Right. That's what I'm calling the Hebrew hammer for.
I appreciate it. Thanks for that.
Get your advice on how to proceed to help her out.
Listen,
whether it's,
give her a hug for me. Tell her I'm really sorry. That's crazy. You believe
that,
Tom? I mean, where's the justice in that, man?
Yeah, really.
But call me after the show, and I'll steer you in the right direction.
Now I'll have Dean hook you up with Adam. Adam, cool. Once again, how can people get in touch with
you?
Sure,
call me toll-free, 800-340-7320, and I'd be happy to hear your story.
All right, there you go. By the way, if you missed any part of Adam, you'll have another chance to call and talk with him. And that's going to be coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app. Now, 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
Former Santa Fe, Texas teacher. Accused of banging a couple of her students. That's Kelsey Gutierrez, 25 years old. She's knocking around with an 18-year-old dude in the parking lot of the student's residence. They began kissing in the front seat of her car, and then they climbed in the back to bang.
It looks like her girl put on a couple of pounds, but there she is, an English teacher, allegedly with... student.
4 days later, Gutierrez went to the student's residence and had sex in his bedroom, according to court records. She admitted having a sexual relationship with the student, and they found evidence of both, of course, on their phones, about meeting times, and the student's sexual performance was apparently discussed.
I wonder if it was graded.
Gutierrez had a sexual relationship with another teen who was still enrolled as a student. She picked up the second teen in her car and drove to a gas station where they began kissing in the parking lot.
I'm sure they got some nice footage of that.
Yeah. They did a lot of roadside stuff, too. Gutierrez was into that. Man, I don't know. I mean, these teens seem awfully lucky to me.
I can't believe they say a word.
They're calling her a lust-crazed Canadian teacher. This is another case who stalked students in Connecticut for sex and sent her naked selfies to these students as well. Come on.
Oh, all right. I like this woman.
Yeah, she's not half bad looking.
Yeah, she's good.
She's married with two children.
Oh, that's not good.
Her husband taught at the same school in Madison, Connecticut.
One of the lines in the story says, the tarty teacher then locked the door and performed some oral sex.
Right. That was after she apparently summoned the young student into her classroom. She is tardy.
Wow. Yeah. I'd like to party with our girl there.
Tardy with the party with the tardy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I'd like to sign up.
A radio DJ accused of grabbing Taylor Swift's ass is now speaking out, saying it was nothing intentional. The picture exists where they're posing in front of like a step and repeat. And it does appear as though Mr. DJ has got his hand on Taylor Swift's ass.
I'm so glad you're not saying this guy's name or I refuse to.
No. It's safe to say he's a real radio dick.
Especially with the name of his morning show that I ultimately refuse to say.
Yeah. I don't know if there are going to be charges pressed, but it looks pretty obvious to me what's going on.
I guess our famous DJ here says his hand was never open.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
He wanted to have a story to tell all his goofy radio buddies.
Hey, I made TMZ, man.
Yeah.
Nice going. Dope.
Yeah. And finally, this Darren Sharper story. Man, it's absolutely unbelievable what went on with this guy. I mean, serial raping going
yep.
on like nuts. So sentenced today to 20 years in prison per the terms of his plea deal.
Right.
And Gloria Allred was there in her
she
pants.
She led the charge.
Yes. Lipstick red, I believe it was today.
That's fine.
She left the canary yellow for later.
She blasted a bugle and charged.
She did. She did indeed.
This is, by the way, they came all from all over the place saying that there was a pattern of sexual assault that basically reached Arizona, Nevada, and Louisiana.
No. Good-looking girls, too, by the way.
So our friend is going to serve his term in federal prison in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't fool around.
Yeah, no, he's got some time to think about his actions.
Yes.
There's plenty more newsforguys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryAndDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
That's right.